Cyclone Debbie has cost North Queensland farmers around Bowen $100 million in lost earnings. It's an early estimate and doesn't factor in infrastructure or machinery losses. Our reporter Marty McCarthy toured the region to see how the rural sector in the areas weathered the storm.
Cyclone Debbie came from the sea, and while her devastation on land is well known, the fishing sector around Bowen is yet to get a good picture of how it's been devastated. Commercial fisherman Terry Must.
Yeah, we've seen previous experience says that that there will be damage there, so it's just a matter of the boats going back out to sea and seeing what trouble we're in. Once there's no coral, it doesn't support the structure for the fish that we target.
How does a cyclone damage the reef, and then how does that impact the population of fish that you would normally catch?
Yeah, the reef's just like your trees. Once the leaves are gone, there's no birds or insects or anything. So, well, the fish hide underneath the coral. That's their protection from everything else. So the coral trout and other fish hide under the plate coral and the stag coral, and it's very fragile. It's like China plate. So, you know, understandably, it can hold 40 or 50 knots of wind. It stays together. But these events smash the coral, and they got nowhere to hide. So they could be buried underneath or whatever. But we've seen before that we've lost big populations of fish, and they just don't disappear. They're not there altogether.
And it's the coral trout from the reef that you rely on. In these past cyclones, what has the impact as a percentage been on the reef, on the fish population, and what do you think it could be from Debbie?
One of our biggest events was Cyclone Hamish, which formed off Bowen here in March 2009, and we lost 90% of the fish then. So like I said, they just don't go away. They don't disappear and come back. I think they're buried under the rubble. So hopefully it's not that bad. But I think from Bowen North will be okay. From here south was where the big weather event was. So it come in from the east, northeast. So just hopefully, you know, it was a big event. It hung around for a whole day. So we don't see much hope, but we're going to go out there and have a look anyway.
Sherry Emmerich from the Bowen Gumloo Growers Association has been visiting all the farmers in the area to see how much damage they received. She's writing reports for the Department of Agriculture from her makeshift office at a cafe in Bowen.
No matter who we spoke to, for the growers today and that, they've all got a long road ahead of them, and we're working with them to assess their infrastructure, the crops, so that we can get, you know, funding that they need to assist them to rebuild.
You've been out to a lot of farms already. What farms or what industries have taken the most damage?
It's all the growers. It's not just one specific. You know, there's been hits on the mango farms, tomatoes, capsicums, really pumpkins is another one that's had a really major hit. So it's overall, it's everybody in the community that's had that effect in the farming community. They've all been affected.
It's still early days, but it's believed up to $100 million damage could have been done to Bowen's agriculture sector.
It's definitely at that number, or probably higher than that, but we're assessing, and hopefully, you know, maybe by the end of the week we'll have a really good update and be putting it out there what it will actually be.
What's that $100 million figure made up from?
So that's the value of current crop in the ground, and probably not infrastructure loss, but that's the value of the crop that's in the ground at the moment.
So if those vegetables had have grown and been sold, they would have been worth $100 million.
That's correct.
Another major industry around Bowen is the mango industry. There's about a dozen commercial growers here.
Right, now that one's tied up to the stake now.
Growers like Jeff Bowditch. He has 6,000 young trees, which were all pushed to the ground by 140 kilometre per hour winds. Today, he's out propping them up.
Yeah, well, we lost a fair percentage of the 2 to 3 year old trees. Were laid down on the ground, and we had to get out as soon as possible to prop them up. We did that by pulling them up with a motorbike, driving a fence post in and tying them back with a piece of sheet. Most of the trees still have some sort of damage on them. And as time goes by, we get to find out what the real effect of the cyclone has left us, because as it pushed them for 15 hours, continually moving them, that's obviously broken off a lot of the fine hair roots. It's damaged and killed a lot of the leaves, which store all the nutrients for our upcoming flowering season. So this has knocked the trees. It could knock them for up to 2 years down the track just till they repair and get their roots settled back in the ground again.
So really just the one cyclone could leave you impacted for 2 years?
Oh, definitely. There's trees here that the heads have come off, so we're going to have to regraft on the shoots on them. So that tree's 3 years behind.
It's going to be a long road back. Bowen mango farmer Jeff Bowditch ending that report by Marty McCarthy. Further south in New South Wales, farmers and rural industries are still trying to account the cost of flooding in the state's north coast. Dairy, cane and soybean, as well as horticulture, have all been hit. There's also been widespread damage to roads, on-farm infrastructure and fences. In Lismore, volunteers rallied to keep a dairy in business during its biggest flood in recent history. Despite a blackout, a backup generator meant cows didn't miss a milking. Bronwyn Herbert visited Lee Sherman's Goolmunga farm to assess the damage.
It was the highest I've ever seen it in this area. We had cows in the dairy because it was that strong down the front. We ended up having to leave our cows here. It was right up to the front of the dairy here.
So we're standing right next to the loading ramp for your cattle. How high was the water where we stand?
It was only a couple of feet here, but it went from here and it went all the way back to the road. And it was metres deep down there. You can see the top of the trees through here, and it's right up halfway up those trees down there. So all through here was all water.
Did your cows miss some milking?
No, they didn't. Because they were here at the dairy, we were actually able to milk them, and we've got some close silage, so we were able to give them silage and milk them that morning, and we milked them early the afternoon before. But the floodwaters at the front was just, it was horrific, the speed at what it's going, and I think it's a tribute to the SES and police that they actually stop people from entering it, because I'm surprised that people didn't get washed off the road down here. It's, we've got silage right out the back. You can see out there, that silage, eight of those silage bales ended up in those trees further down there.
Okay, we're talking about silage moving at least 2 km?
Yeah. We are. Yeah, so that's what, went over fences and floated down in trees. There's some in a neighbour's down there.
So were you sitting on your front veranda watching this unfold?
No, we were actually trying to move things, and we'd move it up a little bit more, and then we'd move it up higher. So it was getting very close to our big shed, so we actually moved all our seed and fertiliser and everything in the shed up because it was coming up the back as well. So it actually surrounds us here.
And what time of day did it peak for you?
Probably, I'd say at in the night, so 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. It was probably nearly its highest then, because at midnight it hadn't changed very much. So it was very scary. It was a lot of water surrounding you. So yeah, but the biggest damage we've got now is actually laneways, because of the speed of the water flowing. It's actually washed out nearly every laneway, every cow laneway that we've got, and you probably noticed our road coming into the dairy, how rough it was. So yeah, so that's a major issue for us, because the cows are really struggling to walk on. It's washed all the silt and soft stuff out of the gravel, and it's very hard on their feet, so we're walking them down the main road to get them over there so that they're not walking on the laneways.
And how are the condition of the cattle?
Yeah, no, they're fine. That's they've been fed silage, and we're giving them extra silage and grain in the dairy. They're quite happy, but we're just trying to get down here now operational so that we can bring cows back to our springers and things like that are going to calve, and this is our main calving time sort of coming up. So yeah, it's challenging. But
were there any flood births?
Yeah, there was a couple that morning, but we kept them in the dairy. We brought them in, put them in the dairy, so they were actually undercover. So they're quite fine, actually. They're doing really well.
Dairy farmer Lee Sherman speaking with Bronwyn Herbert. Let's stay in the region but finish on a high. There's been a remarkable story of endurance emerging, with a cow having survived a swim of about 70 kilometres through floodwater. The cow clambered up onto land not far from the mouth of the Richmond River near Ballina, much to the surprise of the landholders. John Stead told Bronwyn Herbert he couldn't quite believe what he was seeing as an animal stepped over the levee bank.
Well, my wife and I were sitting having coffee quietly on the eastern deck watching the river flow by and all the debris, and then next thing this black hulk emerged out of the riverbank and up onto the road, and then we realised it was a cow. So we called our neighbour, and between us we got it off the road and down into our paddock. And so consequently ended up with, we called her Debbie actually, because, well, Debbie the cyclone, and she came out of all the debris that was floating down the river. So yeah, that's how we came to have a cow.
Then John, you've made contact with the local land service to try and locate the home of this cow.
Yes, we contacted them on Monday, and they sent someone round, and we're still trying to identify where she came from. And we got the name of Ivy, I-V-E-Y, on a yellow tag, but that didn't lead them to know where it had come from, because they couldn't use the electronic wand to read the data. So yes, so it wasn't until they sent someone round this morning, and they a cattle handler chap who was just employed to load her up. And when he saw the ivy, he surprised and he said, "This is very strange, but I was out the back of Lismore last week, and some cattle were in the paddock next door, and they had an ivy tag." So he identified possibly where it was. And after a few phone calls, yes, this animal did come from Gundarimba up near East Lismore, which is quite an incredible journey long swim that she's had.
Because if you look at a map and see Gundarimba all the way to Plimlico, that's a fair ride down the river.
Yes, it's amazing that she has actually just been caught up and floated around all that twisting river. But when she came down past our place, we do have a bit of a jetty, and there's an angled ramp where she could scramble and get a foothold. So that's how she came to scramble up the rest of it, because most of the way it's all mangroves and such that she wouldn't be able to get out of. So yeah, that's how she scrambled up emerged out of the river at our place.
And did you have a bit of feed here for her? Or she's been okay?
Well, luckily we've got sort of a north paddock of maybe an acre and a half, and so I was able to get some ropes that I have here and then rope off a section. The outer fence is barbed wire, but I sort of roped off a pen for her and left her there till they could come and have a look. But yes, now so she's been here until this morning.
How far do you think she's travelled?
Could have been anything up to maybe 60, 80 kilometres or something downriver. So yeah, it's a pretty long swim.
Yeah, long swim to say the least. John Stead speaking with Bronwyn Herbert. There's been some amazing stories coming out of the flood recovery, and you can find links to, you can read more about it or see some great photos that our reporters have taken. Just head to our website.